Big Finish presents Doctor Who, Short Trips. Year of the Drex Olympics by Paul Ebbs. Read by Fraser Hines. If the Doctor hadn't been basking in the gale of applause from the five-armed Venusians, then Jamie, a brawny Scots lad wearing a kilt and a complicated expression of frustration and fear, would have got the attention of the scruffy time traveller much sooner. The Doctor had just finished his speech to the massed academics of the Drexian Energy Commission. The hall was filled to the twisted wooden rafters with the ecstatic inhabitants of Venus's largest city, Drex. The air was humid and sticky. Sweat blossomed around the armpits of Jamie's shirt. He ducked through a maze of fleshy green arms. Doctor! Och, it's the TARDIS! He forced his way between two huge, flat-faced Drexians. The Doctor was looking pleased with himself, raising a hand to the crowd. But his smile of mock modesty was not impressing Jamie. The Highlander had other things on his mind than the Doctor's self-congratulatory posturing. Things he needed to tell the Doctor now. The crumpled time traveller was double-hand-shaking several Drexians. His speech had been about the principles of biofuel extraction from the surrounding jungle environment. In reality, he told Jamie, in exchange for the speech, he'd hoped to persuade the Drexian nuns to teach him the basics of Venusian Aikido, as he thought it was high time I learnt to defend myself, Jamie. Jamie had laughed, and Victoria had sniggered. But the Doctor was determined to use the TARDIS's fortuitous landing on Venus to its full advantage. The subject of biofuel extraction was, Jamie had thought, so boring, he'd seized the opportunity to take a stroll round the gardens of the Energy Commission building. It had been while he'd been circling this huge, fist-made-of-walnut-shaped edifice, he'd made his terrible discovery. Doctor! Jamie called, clambering up onto the stage. He crawled between the double-kneed tripedal-legged Drexians, their five applauding hands annoyingly left limbs free to smack into the back of Jamie's head, so going forward on his knees was the safest option. Well, I didn't come up with the principles of the bifurcator myself, you understand. Jamie could hear the Doctor explaining just how brilliant he was. But I've set the TARDIS workshops to automatically make the first prototype machine for you. It should be delivered in the next few days. That sounds fabulous, Doctor. A thin, musical voice answered. The female Drexian had two arms around the Doctor's shoulders, and another was ruffling his hair in the Drexian way of showing appreciation. As Jamie got to his feet, pulling on the Doctor's tailcoat and then using the Doctor's lapels to pull himself horizontal, another hand ran through Jamie's hair in a ticklish ripple. Oh, get off me! Jamie pushed the hand away. The Drexian stepped back with a look balanced somewhere between annoyance and disapproval around her three compound eyes. Jamie, the Doctor chided. That's no way to speak to Finn Falaflex. Did you leave your manners back at the TARDIS? That's just it, Doctor. But before Jamie could finish his sentence, Finn Falaflex was shouldering Jamie aside, ruffling the Doctor's hair twice as vigorously and saying, "The biofuelator could be the saviour of our fair city, Doctor. It is so kind of you to offer us the technology free of charge. That's a level of altruism we rarely see in these troubled times."
"Yes, well, about that free of charge bit," the Doctor began. But Jamie skipped round and was approaching the Doctor from upstage.
"Doctor, it's the TARDIS!"
The Doctor ducked below Finn Falaflex's ruffling fingers, his lined face crumpling like he'd ripped open an unwelcome bill.
"Jamie, I'm just about to ask Finn Falaflex here if she can have a word about vacancies in the Aikido school."
"Doctor, the TARDIS, it's gone!"
The Doctor did a quintuple take.
"Gone? Well, what do you mean, gone?"
"By the volcanoes of destruction, it has gone," Finn Falaflex trilled, wringing four arms,
while the fifth scratched at her top knot. The Doctor, Jamie, and the Drexian industrialist had pelted from the Energy Commission into the surrounding gardens. The Doctor knelt in the purple grass, running his fingers across the flattened square where the TARDIS had landed.
I don't remember setting the hads,
he said almost to himself.
What?
Jamie said, but missed the Doctor's brief answer, half distracted as he was by Finfaniflix tapping on his shoulder in the Drexian way of sharing distress. The Drexians were too tactile for Jamie's liking, having no concept of what the Doctor called notional personal space. As Jamie was from 18th century Earth, he had no concept of notional personal space either. He just nodded like he did whenever the Doctor made complex explanations of difficult-to-grasp stuff. He'd initially thought personal space was just where you were positioned in the universe, like a map reference. His 4 days in Drex had given him a whole other sense of what it meant. The Drexian faces were not the only place they expressed emotions. Their hands, arms, and even their legs were employed. When a kneecap is part of a smile or a grimace, Jamie really knew he was on an alien world.
"Where's the TARDIS gone, Doctor?"
Jamie said, extricating himself from Finfaniflix's arm. Before the Doctor could hazard a guess, they heard the shrill, out-of-breath sound of Victoria yelling, "Doctor!" Victoria emerged from a clump of yellow-leaf trees. When they reached her, it was all she could do to gasp,
"I saw them, Doctor. They took the TARDIS."
"Who, Victoria, who?"
the Doctor implored. Victoria fought for breath.
The nuns.
Honoured?
The Doctor's face was an outraged puce, matching the curtains in the Mother Superior's convent quarters. Victoria whispered,
Perhaps you might like to calm down a little to get your point across in a more amenable manner.
I am calm, he exploded.
Don't mind him.
Victoria, ever the peacemaker, said to the Mother Superior, towering over her,
This is how we Earthlings show how delighted we are. And when Jamie puts his hand over the Doctor's mouth, it means he agrees with how happy we all are. Of course we are honoured that you have chosen to use our property as a prize in your simply terrific games, but would it be possible to have our blue box returned? There seems to have been some sort of terrible mix-up.
The nun's hands made the Venusian expression of regret, wibbling under her chin like seaweed.
I regret, young earth things.
Once an artifact is included as a prize in the Drexian games, there is only one way, under pain of death, they can be returned.
Victoria gave her most respectful smile, trying to make a hand expression which might be Venusian for
that's terribly interesting. And that one way would be? She ventured.
The nun smiled with her elbows.
Taking part in the games yourself. You'll have to win your blue box back.
What?
Said Victoria.
What?
Said Jamie.
What?
Said the Doctor. Jamie removed his hand. The Doctor drew himself to full height, which was halfway up the nun.
Win back my own property? That's preposterous, madam.
But they are the rules, Earth thing.
The Doctor thought.
I never want to forego a challenge. We accept.
Oh, do we? Growled Victoria.
It seems we have little choice. To be honest, I was rather good at zero-gravity badminton hurdles at the Academy.
Finfaniflix stepped forward.
The Doctor is too fragile to take part in the games, but his young companions may do so.
I'm quite fragile, you know,
Victoria insisted. But as usual, no one was listening. Victoria screamed as the huge beast the locals called a shanghorn and Jamie called a shaggy yellow mountain with enough tusks to skewer a suckling piggery of Highlanders was saddled by some nuns. They were in an enclosure adjoining the Drexian Games arena. The hexathlon was imminent and shanghorn dressage was the first event.
You want us to ride that?
Victoria's neck craned so far back she almost toppled over. The Doctor had been allowed by Finfalaflix to coach his companions as long as he kept away from the inherent dangers of the proceedings. Once Jamie checked with Victoria what inherent meant, and discovered to his horror it did not mean tiny or non-existent, he immediately regretted his initial enthusiasm for the games. He suggested there might be another way to get back the TARDIS, by stealing it. But when Jamie had seen the security force around the TARDIS, 14 nuns with viciously sharp spears in each of their five arms, he'd gone off the idea. The Doctor had not been impressed when told the TARDIS had been appropriated as a prize. However, he'd been even more angry when he discovered his stupendously advanced time machine, containing its mind-boggling array of technical marvels, engaged in building the biofuelator for the Venusians, was to be offered only as the third prize. When the Doctor found that out, he said stealing the TARDIS wasn't such a bad idea after all. Guards or no guards. Victoria had bustled him away to the Drexian Stadium before he got them all arrested. Jamie and Victoria, pulling on bulbous green riding hats and getting to grips with their five-pronged shanghorn crops, stared longingly at the safety barrier, of which they were on the wrong side. I understand from Finfalaflix, shanghorn dressage is a highly skilled marriage of rider and beast, said the Doctor from behind the safety barrier. I understand from me that yon beastie would quite like to eat me and have Victoria for afters, Jamie said, climbing up the 9-feet-high leather saddle ladder. No, nonsense, Jamie, tutted the Doctor. Shanghorns are vegetarians. They don't eat Venusians. I'm not a Venusian, Doctor. It might think I'm a vegetable, Jamie called as the Doctor looked away and whistled innocently. The nuns threw open the gate onto the arena, and the shanghorn lumbered out to the roars of the crowd. Victoria was staring at her hand, squinting at the skin. Come on, Victoria, shake a leg, the Doctor said. As the beast stopped beside her, she leapt back with a yell, startled. What's wrong, Victoria? The Doctor asked. You seem distracted. I'll tell you later, Victoria hissed as she swung herself into the saddle. If I live that long... The Doctor, with Finfalaflix, watched the shanghorn dressage from their seats. The arena was an enormous oval, surrounded by intricately constructed wooden grandstands. The benches were filled with all manner of Venusian. Blue-skinned pyramids rolling on prehensile stumps, red balls opening like tomatoes cut with a salad knife, revealing a remarkably human face. Furry poles with a ring of black eyes, clicking sideways on crab feet, and a thousand other evolutionary experiments. All of which were here to celebrate, in the name of sport, their common cause of peace. Your friends will come to no harm, Finfalaflix assured the Doctor. Competitors are hardly ever killed in the dressage.
Hardly, the Doctor gulped.
Oh yes, hardly.
The winged javelins, however, that's a whole other story.
Crumbs.
Remarkable, Jamie, the Doctor said, voice full of delight.
The Highlander expertly wrangled his shanghorn back to the enclosure, and the Doctor clapped his hands with glee, giving a little jump of pleasure. Jamie had been amazed at how easy it had been himself. The shanghorn seemed to know instinctively what to do, and had carried out Jamie's commands with exemplary efficiency. Where Jamie initially thought he was going to be lunch, now he was just hungry for lunch. Victoria performed even better. The crowd were on their claws, waving tentacles or rubbing each other through their hair with delight. Victoria's shanghorn tip-hooved, sideways slid, and nose stood with incredible skill. Victoria, one hand held up like a rodeo rider, drank in the adoration. The Doctor was as amazed.
Well, what a shining testament to the training I've given you not only today but since you've joined the TARDIS, he beamed.
The Doctor's joy, however, was short-lived. Points were now being awarded for each team, and his face dropped as it became clear Jamie and Victoria were nowhere near the third place they needed to win back the TARDIS. The voice bellowing over the stadium public address system told them the bad news.
On top of the leaderboard by an astounding 70 points are Earthlings Jamie and Victoria.
Before the Doctor's face fell so far it could have said hello to the centre of the planet, Jamie's shirt split open across his back, and his elbows popped out of his sleeves. The garment was now in tatters. If that wasn't bad enough, Victoria's voice went wrong.
Jamie, your shirt. What's happening, Doctor?
Victoria clamped her hand over her mouth in shock. The Doctor and Jamie gawped at her.
Doctor, what's happened to my voice? I sound ridiculous.
No time for that now. It's the winged javelin event, said the Doctor. Go to the arena and try not to do so well this time.
Victoria's face was grave, and her voice was deeper than one.
All right, but I don't like what's happening.
She sighed and pointed.
Pass me the javelin, please, Doctor.
The Doctor picked up a winged javelin by its complicated grip. It was an 18-foot length of diamond, honed to a savage point, which had mechanical wings fitted halfway down the shaft. Victoria took to it as if it weighed nothing, spun it around her head with astounding legerdemain, and jogged out into the arena as if it was something she did every day.
Oh dear, said the Doctor, watching.
Your friends are doing so well,
said Finfanoflix gleefully, standing back from the whirling javelin.
Yes, the Doctor replied. That's what I'm afraid of.
Astonishing scenes. 300 points ahead after the Miles Catul steeplechase and tentacle wrestling. Who would have thought the Earth things could be so wonderful? Bellowed the announcer.
Who, indeed, the Doctor grumbled as Jamie and Victoria returned to the enclosure.
Jamie's shirt had completely fallen away now. There were new muscles glistening with a greenish tint on his body, eyes alive with competitive spirit. When Victoria finished doing her lap of honour after taking first place in the combined steeplechase and star hammer throw, the Doctor was beside himself.
There's something terribly wrong here.
Wrong?
Thundered Victoria with a grin that could stop ships hitting rocks.
I've never felt better in my life. Ah, ouch! What are you doing? That hurt.
Taking a DNA sample, Victoria. I have to find out what's happening or I'm going to lose the TARDIS.
Steady on, Doctor. Jamie rubbed his bicep where the Doctor's device, a small black tube with a needle at one end and a small screen at the other, pecked at his skin. The announcer reached his crescendo.
And now the most widely anticipated event of the games, freestyle Gindoboblix boxing gymnastics.
The Doctor paced. Finfanoflix watched on intrigued.
What does your device do, Doctor?
It's a DNA comparator. It'll tell me what's happened to Jamie and Victoria.
That sounds a very useful device,
said Finfanoflix, squinting at the small black tube.
Yes, it is, but it takes time to give a readout, said the Doctor impatiently.
You are a useful man, Doctor. You will bring huge change to Venus.
I want to change my friends first,
the Doctor exclaimed, hopping from one foot to the other. Just then, the stable door disintegrated and two enraged Changhorns galloped in, bearing down on the Doctor. Nuns ran in from all directions, Changhorn prods buzzing and sparking. It was too late for the Doctor. He disappeared in a cloud of enraged beast and whirling hooves.
Doctor, called Finfanoflix. Doctor, are you all right?
Perfectly, came a voice from high in the rafters, but I'm not sure how I got here.
As the Doctor jumped down, his calf muscles, green-tinged and burgeoning with power, burst from his trouser legs.
But I think I'm getting some idea.
Look, the Doctor said to Jamie and Victoria, holding up the diamond javelin and peering at the complicated handle through a jeweller's eyeglass.
See here, in the grip, there's a micro-mechanical injector which activates when you take the handle. It inserts this tiny needle here into the epidermis and begins a chain reaction DNA mutato wave through the body, turning you both into skilled athletes.
And does that to your legs? Said Jamie, pointing at the Doctor's huge calves.
Well, yes, the Doctor replied, looking forlornly down. But it's not working exactly the same with me. My physiognomy is very different, and I've had much less contact with the mutato virus.
The Doctor cast around the enclosure.
Look, there's a chip in the Changhorn saddle ladder, and one in the heel of the running shoes you used in the steeplechase, and in the handle of the tentacle paddles. You've been exposed to huge amounts of virus. It's increased your strength, your skills, and your aggressive need to win.
Victoria stamped the ground like a bull facing a matador.
It has not. And if you say that again, I'll pick you up and I'll throw you out of the stadium.
The Doctor stepped out of reach. I have an idea what's happened, but I need to talk to the Mother Superior to be sure.
But what should we do?
Victoria said. Do nothing! The doctor shouted over his shoulder as he made for the door. Who knows what danger you're in? And you see, Mother Superior, whoever has sabotaged the sporting equipment of my young friends has endangered their health. The doctor paced, passing the star hammer from palm to palm, carefully avoiding holding on to the DNA virus-loaded handle. Even though the stone environs of the convent were cool and crisp, the doctor was hot and bothered, not at all sure his perspiration was down to agitation or the effects of the mutator wave moving through his body. Imperatrix Mother Superior of the Drexian Order of the Sporting Spirit rubbed her chin with three hands and made the ritual expression of confusion with her ankles. The doctor continued, If you look at this star hammer, just here, madam, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. I do not need to see how the equipment has been changed. This DNA mutator wave is well known to us. It is, the doctor said, eyes wide. It is, she confirmed. We asked for it to be created for the warrior nuns of our order some years ago, when the city of Drex was at war with the Jargalin. It gave our warriors superior strength and the desire to win any battle. That's exactly what is happening to my companions. It would seem so, Doctor, the Mother Superior nodded. And who created this technology? The Doctor hissed, trying hard but completely failing to keep his anger under control. And so the Mother Superior of the Order of the Sporting Spirit told him. The doctor moved swiftly past generators, his face crimson, his breathing labored. He mopped at his brow with a red spotted handkerchief, wringing it out several times before he reached the laboratory. The power complex on the outskirts of Drex was a largely automated facility. The rusting engines burnt fuel and belched steam. Slurries of waste lay in deep pools, topped with detritus slathered in black oily residues. The air was thick with smuts of soot. The doctor couldn't help giving a little wave to the security cameras as he passed. He was not concerned with being discovered. In fact, if what the Mother Superior had told him was accurate, then he would be expected. And so it proved to be. The laboratory door dispatched with a buzz of his sonic screwdriver. He stepped inside the lab. The Drexian was waiting as the doctor entered the room, knees scissoring their annoyance in complicated criss-crossing movements. "Too clever by half, Doctor," said Finfaloflix. "By 9/10, I think," the doctor said. "The Mother Superior is aware of your shenanigans, Finfaloflix. She is already moving to have operations here shut down. And they are going to give the TARDIS back to me."
"Oh, are they?" Finfaloflix giggled. "The Finfaloflix Corporation's monopoly on energy production is safe, Doctor."
The doctor mopped at his brow.
"Not once I give them the biofilator, it won't. You thought if you captured the TARDIS before construction was complete, you'd continue to control energy production in Drex, didn't you?"
Finfaloflix's doubled knees flexed in agitation. "The nuns, with their stupid sports and arcane rituals, took that opportunity away from me."
"Yes, I bet that annoyed you so much. You sprained three wrists and an ankle just telling anyone about it." The doctor smiled.
"You may joke, but I had contingencies. My bribed athletes would have easily placed where they needed to win your TARDIS for me."
The doctor smiled triumphantly. "But you didn't think I'd be able to trace the mutator wave back to you so quickly. You set the Shanghorns on me to destroy my DNA comparator. But you hadn't reckoned on your virus boosting my ability to jump out of their way." Finfaloflix's shoulders and toes shrugged.
"Everything is in hand, Earth Thing. Goodbye."
The doctor awoke to Jamie shaking his shoulder.
"Doctor! Doctor, wake up!"
The doctor opened his eyes, coughed, saw Jamie through swimming tears and croaked,
What happened?
Victoria's voice, if anything deeper, rumbled,
"Then Finfaloflix had taken the TARDIS."
The doctor got unsteadily to his feet.
"One moment I was standing here, talking to Finfaloflix. The next I was unconscious.
I don't understand. The doctor's eyes rested on a nozzle in the ceiling. Now I do. How fiendish. A stunomatic blast array. Oh, I really should think about wearing a hat. A metal one. Ow! Stop it, Jamie! Jamie had the doctor by the lapels. Oh, you're rambling, man! The TARDIS! It's been stolen from the nuns. You're on Finflaxa thing. Came down on a skimmer contraption, stunned the nuns, grabbed it, and flew off to, well, who knows where? The doctor patted his pockets, then dug deeply into his baggy trousers, pulling out the DNA comparator. He flicked a switch. The little machine beeped into life. Well, not anywhere, Jamie, the doctor said. She's on Venus, and this machine will tell us where. It only samples the DNA, you see, but doesn't have the power to analyse. It transmits the sample's digital breakdown to the TARDIS computers, which do all the hard work, sending back the results. How does that help us now? Cried Jamie. The doctor smiled. It has to know where the TARDIS is to transmit the signal. And if I press this and boost... The doctor buzzed his sonic screwdriver across the device. This? It will tell us exactly where the TARDIS... Oh, dear. Oh, very, very dear indeed. Jamie ran up the slope of the volcano, bounding over boulders and leaping deep ravines. Behind, in her crinolines and lace, Victoria did the same, looking like a shuttlecock come to life. The doctor, piggybacking on Jamie, encouraged the massively bemuscled Highlander on.
She can't think throwing it into a volcano will hurt the TARDIS,
Victoria bellowed, somersaulting a boulder with a perfect triple pike.
You've always told us it's indestructible.
It is, the doctor yelled back. But if it's stuck in the magma chamber below an active volcano, how can we get into it? It may be indestructible, but we're not. They crested the crater. Black smoke billowed up. The heat coming off gloopy lava 500 feet below turned their faces a ruddy red, tinged with sickly green. The doctor dismounted Jamie, stumbling onto his knees, clutching his thighs in agony. What's the matter, doctor? Jamie asked. The mutator virus I got from the javelin. It's not working on me the same as it does on you. The doctor massaged his calves. My DNA, I fear, is confusing the virus, causing damage rather than enhancing. He struggled to his feet. Let's get the TARDIS back first. Worry about me later. He pointed through the belching steams. Look! There she is! The billowing smoke had changed direction in the convecting air currents. Through the shimmering atmosphere, they could see Finfalaflix's skimmer on the lip of the crater. The five-armed Drexian was hauling the TARDIS off the transport. The doctor, supported by Jamie, began to move around the lip, buffeted by severe air turbulence.
Why didn't she just fly above the volcano and drop the TARDIS in?
Victoria asked as they fought through the heat. The doctor shook his head. You can't fly above the lava safely, Victoria. If she flew too high, the air currents might deflect the TARDIS to safety. Too low, and she risked the skimmer being destabilised and plunging into the lava herself. No, this is something she has to do by hand. Hand. The TARDIS was on its side, 10 feet from the drop. Finfalaflix pushed against it with her back, digging her many knees into the gravelly earth, trying to build up momentum. Seeing the TARDIS crew, her mouth and jiggering biceps expressed surprise. How did you find me? She dug her heels in harder, pushing the TARDIS ever closer to its doom. By being very clever, shouted the doctor. And he has a wee box, shouted Jamie. Shush, Jamie, don't spoil it. Finfalaflix heaved, blue sweat breaking across her brows. Keep back. If I have to fight you, I will. Well, I'm fine with that, Jamie said, lunging forward. 3 seconds later, he was flying on the uprushing gases as Finfalaflix used three arms and half an articulated shoulder to throw him. He landed quarter of a mile away, blissfully unconscious.
Don't worry, let me,
Victoria said, rolling up her sleeves with virus-enhanced confidence burning in her eyes. She leapt at Finfalaflix, dress billowing, green-tinged fists flying. Victoria lasted 4 seconds before Finfalaflix's whirling limbs sent her arcing high onto the billowing air currents to land, like Jamie, unconscious, upside down in a hole.
Never underestimate the power of Venusian Aikido, Doctor!
Finfalaflix laughed as she began pushing at the TARDIS again. Black smoke and rich gases hissed and popped around her. The TARDIS was about to fall and the Doctor was alone. He patted his pockets. He patted them again. He patted them for a third time, just to make sure he'd got the message there was nothing in them to help. Then he fell down again, racked by virus cramps. Finfalaflix pushed the TARDIS. The solid blue shape bit into the gravel gamely, but the top of the box was teetering now, about to overbalance. The Doctor forced himself up, eyes scrunched with pain. The updraft coming from the lava was incredibly powerful now, the stream of gases zooming upwards, making the air sing and scream. The Doctor looked at Finfalaflix, looked at the TARDIS, looked at the jetting gases. His face changed, uncrumpling as an idea hit him like a cricket ball in the dark. Instead of patting his coat, he began feeling round the edges of it. The TARDIS teetered. The Doctor grabbed the tails of his coat and leapt into the crater.
"Goodbye, Doctor!"
Finfalaflix yelled with unalloyed joy. But the currents and gases from the volcano lifted the Doctor high into the raging air, in much the same way they had when Finfalaflix fought off Jamie and Victoria. With a whump and a flap, the Doctor's coat filled out like a taut parachute. He snapped his eyes open and steered himself, crudely, up over Finfalaflix's head to land with a thump on the TARDIS doors. Slamming his key into the lock, he fell inside the machine as the door swung back under his weight. The Doctor's landing weight had caused the time machine to fall, beginning its long drop towards the lava. Finfalaflix, still pushing against it, found the sudden absence of the box, pitched her forward. She began to follow too, screaming as she fell. The TARDIS began to hang in midair. Finfalaflix crashed into it, trying to hang on.
Saved! I'm saved!
But the air currents were buffeting the TARDIS with horrific ferocity. Even with all her arms and legs, Finfalaflix was unable to get enough purchase. She slipped and slid down the machine. The TARDIS door opened, and the Doctor appeared. He held out his hand, just as Finfalaflix lost her grip completely in the furnace-hot winds. The Doctor managed to grip just one of Finfalaflix's fingers as she flew past.
"Hold on!" he shouted. "Climb in!"
But Finfalaflix's fingers were slick with blue sweat and her other limbs were windmilling with panic.
"You have to grab the TARDIS!"
the Doctor shouted.
"I'm too exhausted to hold you. The mutator virus has weakened my system. Try, Finfalaflix, try!"
Finfalaflix's eyes, toes and forearms were filled with terror.
"Don't let me fall, Doctor!"
But the virus-compromised Doctor could no longer hold her, and Finfalaflix could find no purchase on the TARDIS. She fell, flailing into the lava, elbows and mouth expressing their desperation and all-consuming fear. And when I woke up, Finfalaflix was gone. The gas currents had blown the doors closed and the TARDIS had been sailed to safety. All I had to do was disengage hover mode and pick you both up, the Doctor said, smiling smugly. Jamie sat in the purple grass of the garden outside the Drexian Energy Commission. Victoria stood next to him, grumpy all over her face. "And now we've all had the antidote I concocted in the TARDIS, everyone is back to normal," said the Doctor, smoothing the volcano-singed lapels of his tailcoat with maximum hubris. Victoria looked at him with sharp disgruntlement. "Well, I'm glad my voice is back to normal, but I'd have preferred it if you'd given us the antidote before you made us push the TARDIS back to the city." "Ah, well, hover mode only keeps the TARDIS stationary," the Doctor explained. "It had to be pushed. couldn't risk taking off and not being able to deliver the biophilator. The Drexians are very happy with it.
But you were happy to risk making my back ache abominably, Victoria said with such indignation as she could muster, which was quite a lot.
The doctor coughed, rubbed his chin, and changed the subject. Yes, well, I think it might be time for us to slip away before they make me king or head nun or something.
Jamie looked up. I thought you said you wanted to learn their Venusian desperado, or whatever it's called.
The doctor shook his head, dropping into a fighting stance. He made several chops in the air, and then yelled some embarrassing
hi-haw-ho-ha-ha-ha noises.
I don't think I need to. I saw more than enough of Finfalaflix's Venusian Aikido, Jamie, to stand me in good stead if I ever need to use it again in the future.
Jamie looked at Victoria.
Victoria looked at Jamie.
And they both shook their heads.
With the doctor still hi-yawing and hi-hawing, the two youngsters encouraged him into the TARDIS.